From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, I have the latest U.S. export sales report with Allendale commodity broker Greg McBride, special correspondent Russ Parker talks planting season with FMC, and Andy visits with Mark Heckman of Iowa Corn at a roundtable in Muscatine. Now here are your hosts for today, Andy Peterson and Dustin Huffman.
Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Mother Nature needs to get her meds reassessed. Good morning on Iowa Ag Matters. Dustin Huffman here in the Des Moines studios where we've seen rain, sleet, and a little bit of snow. Andy Peterson, where are you at and what are you seeing on the road?
Yeah, eastern Iowa, and a lot of the talk last night at Celebration of Agriculture was that the nasty stuff was going to stay north of Highway 20. Well, guess what? It didn't. It is right along the Highway 30 corridor. A lot better now. I was out in it during perhaps the heart of the snowstorm, which was about 8 o'clock or so, and it was coming down pretty good, big, nasty flakes. Started off with rain about 6 or so this morning, and then, you know, the roads have cleared off nicely. The crews have done a great job. But, yeah, I haven't seen this in over 2 months after, of course, the calendar changed to spring. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Mother Nature is a nasty person once in a while, but I know my mom was talking to her last night. They're expecting a foot to a foot and a half in southern Minnesota today. So,
well,
I guess we'll come our
time. They haven't had any all winter.
That's been close. Yeah, that it has been. So they've been fortunate. We've gotten more than they have so far. So I have to see how that plays out.
Let's get going here and dive into the marketplace as we always do on a Friday. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net sitting down now with Dustin.
We're talking right now with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net here on this Friday morning. And Matt, a lot of red on the greens here as we take the pause going into the opening session. And Matt, what are we seeing driving that downward momentum right now?
I think there's just a little bit of, maybe a little bit of profit take. I mean, we are looking forward towards, a report next week, which is a big one, quite frankly. I mean, we know that you could be looking at some massive changes. I mean, typically that's kind of what we see happen with this planting intentions and quarterly stocks report. So, I think that there's probably just a little bit of folks maybe take a little off the table. Watching South American weather, of course, definitely, watching Argentina and Brazil. Argentina's been too wet. Brazil's been too hot and dry. But at the same time, we all know that there's enough stocks out here in the world that probably aren't going to get super concerned just yet. So, you look at this corn market, it looks like we have a really good shot at closing with, some weekly gains. Nothing to get super excited about it, but, 3-4 cent gains is certainly better than nothing. Whereas on soybeans, we're still above. The thing is, you start out the week down, I believe we were down 10 or 11 cents there on Monday, and then on Wednesday we're up 24 cents, bottom line is this morning being down 10 cents, we're still up on the week. It's just not near as good a week as what we thought we might be looking at there midweek.
Now, you mentioned what's going on with South American weather and everything, but we know here we're still not in the ground quite yet, at least in the Corn Belt. But, we know there's been a lot of dry areas. I just saw a tweet the other day, the Cedar River over in near Waterloo, where it was almost bone dry. I mean, how much concern is weather playing already, even though we haven't quite got the seed in the ground yet?
I think the weather, has definitely been watch very closely. There's just a lot of folks that are, concerned, especially Iowa and southern Minnesota. But at the same time, I got to think most producers I know, as well as me, because I farm, I would much rather have a drier type spring than a wetter spring. And so, we've got to hope that we don't see this trend turn into a wetter topsoil type spring that we're, kind of dodging ponds and whatnot. So as of this point, I think it's too early in the year to get super concerned. It's just that there's not a lot of subsoil moisture. So there's no doubt that there's going to be a lot of folks watching this once you get on out past the planting window.
Well, I'll have more with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net coming up a little later as we talk about livestock and that cattle on feed report coming out later this afternoon. Right now, Andy Peterson's got his first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number 3.
Continuing the theme of National and Iowa Ag Week, discussing the issues of agriculture and telling our story in a panel discussion hosted by our outstanding Muscatine affiliate, KWPC Radio. Mark Heckman, one of the expert panelists representing the Iowa Corn Growers Association.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak about agriculture. It's one of those things that we have to be proud of what we do and get involved, getting engaged. And, you know, if you're not at the table in those discussions, you're on the menu. And not to be cliche about that, but that's truly the case.
A wide range of topics were covered, from acreage to markets to sustainability, during the two-hour-long discussion.
Number two.
Groundbreaking new research on who consumers blame for high food prices. A new study from the University of Illinois and Purdue asked consumers what type of companies they believe are behind the food prices. And the answer is two-thirds consider food manufacturers too big, and over half believe grocery stores have too much control over market share. Survey showing consumers feel farmers were the least to blame, with more than 70% of consumers believing restaurants, grocery stores, and food manufacturers are overcharging.
Number one.
Continuing concern over drought, even with the frozen wintry precipitation falling across the northern half of most of the state here today. Drought monitor out yesterday shows 97.74% of Iowa is in some kind of drought condition. John Baranek, ag meteorologist for DTN, says it's been an unusual winter that really hasn't lent itself to any sort of recovery, not only in Iowa, but in the Corn Belt in general.
It's been a really strange winter. It's been a super warm winter. So anytime we've had chance for precipitation or snow, it might have come for a little bit and then melted. I mean, they even got 2 feet of snow in parts of Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois back in January when we had the polar vortex kind of move through. But that melted off in less than a month. And, you know, we just have not had snow cover stick around. And that's really led to the ground being warm enough to just soak all that moisture in. It's kind of a double-edged sword of good and bad. The soils need it. We didn't have anywhere across farm country that really had good soil moisture at the end of last year.
He is hopeful that cooler and wetter weather is already well on its way to offer some relief and get our soil moisture profile back up to snuff. I'm Yedi Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, we got more to come here as we're just getting the ball rolling on Iowa Ag Matters. We're going to get a recap of yesterday's export sales report, and we'll have that coming up next with Riley Smith on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, export sales report this week, fairly neutral after some big numbers that we've seen in the last couple of weeks. As far as the specifics, well, we dive in here. Riley Smith visits with Allendale broker Greg McBride.
First off, Greg, what came out on the report this morning for corn and soybean exports?
Well, we were within the range of estimates for corn, beans, wheat, meal, and oil. Big corn coming just shy of 1.2 million tons. The upper end of the estimates were 1.5, low end was 800. Beans came in just shy of 500,000 tons at 494,400. Again, inside the range of estimates, nothing overly exciting. The corn just kind of stays status quo, holding on to the pace we need to get to where we want for the USDA goal. And then the beans are still lagging behind at this point.
Then, of course, we haven't seen a lot of flash sale activity. You've seen flash activity the other way, but did we see any flash sales recently this week?
Yeah, part of yesterday's excitement in the markets was 120,000 tons of soybeans sold to unknown. Part of that is that people are going to look at that and say, oh, China's back. We don't know that for sure, but that is something that gets people excited. That's one of the reasons we probably had a little bit of excitement in the overnight tonight, even though that's kind of come back down off those highs and we're barely holding unchanged right now.
And then looking at just how we're standing with the USDA's goals for exports, you know, with another neutral report, how are we lining up on that?
So corn, like I said, remains on target. We have no problem with the numbers we've got there. Probably looking at keeping their number in line. No changes to the export demand on any of the upcoming WASDE reports. But on the bean side of things, we definitely could see them come in and make some sweeping changes on this. We're looking at anywhere from maybe 40 to 140 million bushel adjustment on the overall export demand. With the good crush, that could be offset a little bit, but at this point, we're just lagging so far behind. This is not the time of the year you like to be this far behind, because we just don't typically see a lot of sales between now and the end of marketing year.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who'd like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
It's March. Even though, for the most part, this winter has been overly mild, there's still nothing quite like the excitement of planting season and new life and growth right around the corner. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's fun. It can be breathtaking. And also be a very dangerous time of year. Hi there, Andy Peterson, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, with a quick reminder of a few things we can do to help reduce that risk during the very busy planting season, like thoroughly inspecting all equipment before going to fields. Try to rest up, as chronic fatigue can have the same effect on your body as drugs and alcohol, and slowed reaction times can be the difference sometimes between life or death. Planting season is a sprint, yet it's also important to do it right and be cognizant of what's happening around you and come home safely to your families each and every evening. We want to be around to have our discussions about the growing season after planting season has concluded. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
So as we mentioned, you know, the weather, Andy, a little bit of snow, a little bit of sleet, a little bit of rain, a mixed bag here this morning as we got rolling in Iowa, and it's going to continue. But this may just be softening us up for what's supposed to come this weekend. It could be round two if we can survive round one, depending on, you know, boxing idioms and all that and how much we could take this round. But, round two coming this weekend could be an interesting start to the first full week in the spring.
Yeah, a little bit of a wet streak here, it looks like. Not a huge surprise, according to those who kind of predict these things a little bit further out. They've been watching this for a while, you know, the specific locations, obviously, and tracks change. But ground still isn't frozen. Temperatures are right at freezing. So if you can get past the frustration and the infuriation of Mother Nature having her seasons out of order again, according to the calendar, it's all going to soak in. So it's beneficial. We certainly do need it. And once we get past this into next week, it looks like things do warm up. And calendar about to turn to April, too. So we'll be getting into full-scale field mode before long. Basis report, statewide elevator prices is next.
It's time to run down those basis numbers here for you on Iowa Ag Matters for your Friday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 15 cents under on corn at 423. Soybeans 11 cents under at 1188. Cargill and Eddyville even today on corn, 438 for the cash bid. New Co-op Algona 12 cents under on corn, 426. Soybeans 55 cents under with a cash bid, 1144. Ag State Sheldon a nickel over on corn, 443. Soybeans 70 cents under at 1129. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, cash bid 417, soybeans 60 cents under at 1139. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 7 cents over on corn, 445, soybeans a nickel under at 1194. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, even today on corn, they're at 438, soybeans 50 cents under at 1149. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 2 cents over on corn, cash bid $4.40. ADM Des Moines, 6 cents under on soybeans, their cash bid 1193. New Co-op Red Oak, 15 cents under on corn, 423, soybeans 50 cents under at 1149. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 26 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.12, soybeans 51 cents under at 1148. New Co-op Sheraton, 35 cents under at 403, soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1144. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 21 cents under on corn, 417, soybeans 41 cents under at 1158. New Co-op Glidden, 12 cents under on corn, 426 for the cash bid, soybeans 50 cents under at 1149. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 18 cents under on corn, $4.20 for the bid. and 39 cents under on soybeans at 11.60. And a Cargill Muscatine at 12 cents under on corn, 4.26. Soybeans 15 cents under at 11.84. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been the check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock numbers for you. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. You can find them on Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network on the way, so stay with us. Andy had a lot of windshield time here yesterday before we get going here on Iowa Ag Matters. One of the things he was doing early in the day, he was up in Muscatine with affiliate KWPC and their roundtable discussion they had for this spring. He's got a recap here with special guest from Iowa Corn.
Oh, we had an outstanding panel discussion in Muscatine at the Merrill Hotel, very appropriate venue overlooking the mighty Mississippi where so much ag commerce takes place. It gets you thinking a little bit past maybe what happens out in the field, to more of a holistic view, I guess, of agriculture during National Ag Week. And one of our expert panelists was Mark Heckman with the Iowa Corn Growers Association, the Global Ag Network as well, West Liberty area farmer. We appreciate all that you contributed. It was a fascinating discussion.
You know, I appreciate the opportunity to speak about agriculture. It's one of those things that we have to be proud of what we do and get involved, getting engaged. And, you know, if you're not at the table in those discussions, you're on the menu. And not to be cliche about that, but that's truly the case.
Yeah, you've been talking to Bill Couser too much, haven't you?
Bill is a friend. He actually is part of the Global Farmer Network. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's true. Raise your hand. Pam Johnson is also a mentor of mine and a lady that I admire quite a bit. But she says, raise your hand, volunteer until it hurts, and then do a little bit more. And that's really, I guess I see our position as farmers, as our position as people that are involved in agriculture. So it's our pleasure to really be involved and volunteer in every space that we can.
So what was the conversation at the panel? What was the most important issue that you think we discussed and why?
Man, I think all of it is getting educated on sustainability was, I think, one of the special topics. And not just sustainability in how it is, how you can monetize it, but how it is how we hit the fields or we hit our jobs and we hit our workplaces to try to figure out how to do more with less and make food, feed, and fuel the most sustainable ways.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that is what happens out in the fields is food, fuel, and fiber production through a series or sequence of events. Let's talk production side, though, as planters getting ready to roll here in the next few weeks. It's an exciting time. There's no question about that. So what are you thinking about there?
You know, we mentioned it in the panel. You get 40, 50 chances in a lifetime to produce a crop, and you want to take all the right steps. So every farmer experiences the anxiety and the excitement, and it's so cool. We really need to take a step back and make sure that we enjoy every step in the process. And then also make sure that everybody knows, you know, my door's open to anybody who wants to come and ride along or see exactly what happens and how we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the great parts about having Joan and John Maxwell on the panel is they opened their farm to anybody and everybody in the agritourism and are able to tell that story accurately, probably as good or better than anybody else in Iowa.
I've been on their farm. It's a really cool story. And I think as you, you know, I'll show you my farm. It's not perfect, and we're certainly open for suggestions. I think you'll find that from every farm and every farmer that's out here. We're all trying to do our best and have no secrets to hide. We want to get it out there, get out there, and we're proud of what we do and happy to be part of the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Secretary Nag said it in our FFA and 4-H meet and greet a little earlier. We're trying to learn and get better each and every day, and that's really all that you can ask. Mark, we appreciate your leadership on farming events and corn grower issues and your participation yesterday.
You know, it's my pleasure. It is our pleasure as farmers and agriculture to really do it. And I want to thank Iowa Corn, Iowa Soybean, all the trade associations that really really put forth the effort to listen to what the farmers' needs are and then convey that to the people who can make the difference.
Well, lots more great information still to come. Andy Peterson staying with us. We've got the three big Iowa Ag Matters, round two. Let's see what we've got to talk about right now.
Number three.
Continuing the theme of National and Iowa Ag Week, discussing the issues of agriculture and telling our story in a panel discussion hosted by our outstanding Muscatine affiliate, KWPC Radio. Mark Heckman, one of the expert panelists representing the Iowa Corn Growers Association.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak about agriculture. It's one of those things that we have to be proud of what we do and get involved, getting engaged. And, you know, if you're not at the table in those discussions, you're on the menu. And not to be cliche about that, but that's truly the case.
A wide range of topics were covered, from acreage to markets to sustainability, during the two-hour-long discussion.
Number two.
Restoring access to Iowa and U.S. poultry and export market, the country of Colombia. After months of hard work by the Office of U.S. Trade Representative and USDA, they've now reopened their market to U.S. poultry and egg producers. Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McAllop says they're pleased that, quote, American poultry and egg producers have renewed access to higher income for them, their families, and our rural communities because of our efforts to remove market access barriers.
Number one.
Continuing the theme of National and Iowa Ag Week, discussing the issues of agriculture and telling our story in a panel discussion hosted by our outstanding Muscatine affiliate, KWPC Radio. Mark Heckman, one of the expert panelists representing the Iowa Corn Growers Association.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak about agriculture. It's one of those things that we have to be proud of what we do and get involved, getting engaged. And, you know, if you're not at the table in those discussions, you're on the menu. And not to be cliche about that, but that's truly the case.
A wide range of topics were covered, from acreage to markets to sustainability, during the two-hour-long discussion. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Fantastic evening last evening at the Celebration of Agriculture, 36th annual in Cedar Rapids. Former USDA Secretary, the 31st USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue, the keynote speaker. Great night remembering the late, great Bill Northey as well. Well, much more coverage on that in the days to come, including a message from Sonny Perdue here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Fantastic time, though, as always, Dustin.
Oh, definitely looking forward to hearing more on that. And yeah, Secretary Perdue always has some colorful and interesting stories to tell. And boy, I got one with him too that I would love to share sometime, but don't have the time at this moment because we're getting ready to run into those markets. Midday numbers coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Report here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. Corn is trading lower at midday after a reversal off yesterday's highs. This has May corn on track for only a slight gain on the week. Prices did not respond to a reported flash sale of corn to Mexico and are now below the 40-day moving average. This morning, the USDA reported a flash sale of 263,000 metric tons of corn to Mexico. 173,000 metric tons of that amount were for 23-24, and the other 90,000 metric tons were for 24-25. Estimates for Argentinian corn production were lowered by the Buenos Aires grain exchange yesterday by 2.5 million metric tons to 54 million metric tons due to the February heat wave and damage from the Spiroplasma bacteria carried by the maize leafhopper insect. Harvest is estimated at 3.7% complete. In the soybeans are trading sharply lower to end the week and are back below the 50-day moving average in the May contract. Soybeans are now set for a small loss on the week. Both soybean meal and oil are lower with pressure from lower palm oil futures. The Brazilian soybean harvest is expected to be 70% complete by this weekend, and some work could be delayed due to rain. In Argentina, soybean crop ratings came in with 31% rated good to excellent and 16% rated poor to very poor. Drought is threatening the water levels on the Mississippi River for a third year. Barge shipments have fallen to 464,000 tons in the week, ending March 16th, from 593,000 tons the previous week. Soybean shipments were down 25% from last week. And taking a look now at the livestock markets, daily cattle slaughter for today estimated 117,000 head. That is 5,000 below a week ago and roughly 8,000 below a year ago. Choice cuts load count is at 72, and those current cutout values for choice at 313.73, that is 29 cents higher than yesterday. Load count for select cuts at 17, those cutout values for select at 303.73, that's $1.02 higher than the previous day. In the hog markets, daily hog slaughter today is estimated at 490,000 head, that is roughly 17,000 higher than a week ago, but is about 2,000 lower than a year ago. Producers sold barrows and gilts today estimated at 5,808, that weighted average price at 80.30. We'll take a look at the midday market prices next.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn down 2 even at 438 and 3 quarters. May soybeans down 18 and a half at 1193 and a half. May soybean meal down 490 at 339.40. May soybean oil down 81 cents at 47.98. Chicago wheat up 4.5 at 551 and a quarter. Kansas City hard red wheat up 3.5 at 585 and a quarter. Minneapolis spring wheat up 2.25 at 658 and three quarters. May oats up 2.25 at 355 and three quarters. On the Merck, April live cattle down 67 at 187.70. April feeders down 287 at 251.75. April lean hogs down 50 at 84.40. April pork cutout down a dime at 92.42. And April Class 3 milk down 15 cents at 15.59. That's been a check of the midday markets here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith.
Well, one of USDA's favorite tricks, release the cattle on feed report after the market closes, right? Well, that's what's going to happen, and then there'll be a whole weekend to digest the information. A preview next as Dustin continues the conversation with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net.
All right, and switching over to the livestock side of things, we got a big report coming out today, cattle on feed report. Of course, that's usually after the close, but do we see any of that, at least in your crystal ball, do you see that making a big impact, going into the beginning of next week?
Not necessarily. And here's why. We knew that the report was going to be pretty bullish, versus a normal month for the January numbers, which was released, there in February. The thing about it, Dustin, is that, it wasn't near as bullish as everyone thought, which tells you, that maybe this report might be, over 100, if you will. And so my thought process is that, you're probably going to have maybe a little more of a bearish tilt this month. Last month, we felt like it would be a pretty bullish number. The weather in January pretty much halted movement of cattle. And so we knew placements would be lower. Some thought they could get down in the 80s, where actually they were in the low 90s. You move into this month, you've got to think that the number is going to be over 100 due to the fact that last month you were in the low 90s. And so I think when you put the 2 months together and we understand that the total cattle herd inventory is a 73-year low, I don't think that these numbers are going to be overwhelmingly bearish. They're going to look a little bit bearish versus a year ago. But again, fundamentally, this cattle market is definitely primed for more up later in the year if the economy can sustain it. One of the most bullish fundamental situations we've got in agriculture is certainly with regards to cattle.
All right. And then finally, wrapping up with the hog market, Matt, I mean, what are we seeing right now here at the end of the week? And what do you think it's going to be doing here in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I don't. It's a really tough call. I mean, the hog market seems to have kind of gotten comfortable following the cattle market around. You know, whenever I look at the hog market, though, you know, you've got just really strong prices versus what, you know, what I thought that we would see. Had a lot of triple digits there for a while. A couple, three of the front months have kind of slipped below, but still, you know, you're still looking at $100 hogs on a couple of your deferred markets. And so I think as long as the cattle market stays strong, which I would expect, I think that you can expect that hogs are going to stay relatively strong as well. There's no doubt that there's some folks that probably would lean towards, you know, maybe backing away from the table a little bit, you know, on some of these cattle or beef, box beef prices that we've seen that might switch over and, you know, of course, eat a tasty pork chop. So I think it's pretty good for all of us whenever we see the kind of price structure that we've seen, especially moving over towards the cattle discussion again.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as we continue on going through some of the information we caught at Commodity Classic, Russ Parker, our special correspondent, will be talking with Gail Stratman of FMC, talking about some new products that they're going to have on the marketplace here for 2024. More coming up next year. This is Iowa Ag Matters. Well, as we get ready to start planting here in Iowa for 2024, though, kind of hard to believe we're thinking about that with the weather outside there today. But nonetheless, it's coming soon. And special correspondent Russ Parker talked with Gail Stratman from FMC about things we should be thinking about before those planters hit the field.
Planting season's coming up.
Yes.
And what are you guys thinking about?
Well, there's a lot of things to think about. Of course, a lot of growers are looking at the grain markets these days and trying to figure out, you know, their inputs and where their bottom line is going to be. And that's going to be really critical this year is when you look at your inputs, figuring out where that bottom line, where that return on investment is. You know, the natural tendency there is we're going to have to pull back. We're going to have to pull back inputs. And that's natural. But I challenge growers to understand where your return on investment is. You know, a natural thing is, in some cases, is to pull the fungicide out, you know, late in the season. Well, maybe we don't need that this year. We don't need to do that spend this year. But if you look at some of the historical yield data and a lot of the results, that's one of the best return on investments that a grower can get out of the season. So I challenge them again to just look at the different things that they're doing and figure out where that return on investment, where that's going to help your bottom line. Because in a year like this, you've got to pick and choose a little bit on where your best chance of success is. And so understanding that in your operation and by field is going to be really important in this 2024 season.
Any other thoughts? You know, we're dry. Mm-hmm. But we had fog about 4 weeks ago, so yep. There's a wives' tale about that.
Yep.
Any thoughts about pre-plant and getting a planter ready and some of the crop protection issues that maybe want to think about?
Yeah, like I said, everybody's talking about the early spring, and I think it's going to be earlier this year. We don't have any frost in the ground. We don't have any snow cover, so we're not reflecting as much sunlight. So this soil temp is going to continue to get a little bit warmer a little bit earlier. And so that's going to be something growers need to be considering. You know, first and foremost, we're talking about earlier planting most likely. And so That's going to probably widen that window in the spring where we've got cooler temperatures where that crop is growing in earlier in the spring. And so you've got it vulnerable to a lot of seedling diseases if we catch some wet stretches in there. Early season insects like wireworm and white grubs and all those stuff that affect corn stands as well as some of those early seedling diseases. So a product like Ethos Elite that we're introducing this year is going to be a really good product in that window where we're pushing that planting window earlier and earlier in both corn and soybeans. I shift gears a little bit and think about weed control. Again, we're going to be putting soybeans in the ground, and we do it every year earlier and earlier. Well, that really opens up that window of where you need the length of weed control you need to get you to canopy, because that canopy is still not going to occur probably till June. But if we're planting soybeans in April, that's a long window to try to manage weed control. So using products like our Authority Supreme, Authority Edge products, pre-emergence, that have the longest residual capacity from those AIs in the industry, and then following it with Anthem Max and that overlapping residual program is really going to be critical to maintain that weed control and protect that yield out there. And then the last thing I'll say is, we're looking at efficiencies, trying to save trips across the field. Our Zyway product, at plant fungicide, that's foliar in nature. It provides foliar disease control, but we're doing that at planting time. You're now saving a trip across the field. We're using that planter to not only put seed in the ground, but we can also put our disease control down. Now we've just saved $10-$12 an acre in application costs from later in the season. Those kind of things that you can add to the bottom line are going to be really important in a year like this where margins are going to be tight. So think about maybe doing things a little bit different this year, but also watch your P's and Q's as we get into the season and what Mother Nature's going to throw
at us. So if a grower wants to get some more information, especially about some of the newer chemistries, where are you directing them to at least start in that process?
Well, like I said, you can always go to your FMC Star retailer and get more information on stuff they can use today. Or we can go to, our website at ag.fmc.com. We've got bits and pieces in there about some of the new things, the new pipeline things we're working on. And like I said, if you get in touch, too, with your local FMC people out in the field, we're doing field days and on-farm grower trials of new things and trying things out with growers. So there's always opportunities to take a look at something that maybe fit in your farm this year, next year, or the year after that.
Well, Gail Strawman, thank you very much for your time. We're at the FMC booth, Commodity Classic. This is Russ Parker reporting for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Yeah, it is right around the corner of planting season, even though you look out and see white today, and it sure doesn't seem like it. I had a chance to visit with Jim O'Connell at the Celebration of Ag last night, and he's certainly making preparations. No activities yet, although he did say, as far as a row crop standpoint, he did say he got some oats and alfalfa seeded, though. So that task is taken care of, I suppose, about right on time. Thanks to Dustin, of course. Thanks to Riley. And thanks to you for being here another outstanding week. See you Monday, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.